Before we open God's word, let me pray for us and just ask God to bless this time. Father, wow, just a great morning of celebration thus far. And Lord, we've seen new life through baptism. We've seen, heard stories of how you have brought people back from wandering from you. And Lord, we've also looked ahead and just said, man, here's what's coming up. But God, right now, as we just take some time to open your word and be challenged as to what it means and how to grow as a disciple, God, just challenge our hearts, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you've been here over the last few weeks, or maybe you haven't, we're in the midst of this series, and we're actually going to wrap it up this morning, where we've been talking about DNA and our identity. And the way we've captured this is actually with just one simple statement that actually serves not only as our church's mission statement, but also as our own personal biblical mission statement as followers of Christ. And let me just show you this statement again. You've seen it, you've heard it these last few weeks, but here is our mission. Here's our DNA as followers of Jesus. We exist, I exist, you exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus who love God passionately and love others unconditionally. Now, there's a lot, there's a lot that I love about that statement, but two things that really jump out and I really appreciate about it. And here's one. I love that statement, appreciate how it just grabs and captures both the great commandment and the great commission that Jesus gave. Second thing I appreciate about it is how it compels all of us as followers of Jesus to actually be healthy disciples. Because I know this is how I think. If I look at that and say, if I exist, if Jesus has called me to make disciples who love God passionately and who love others unconditionally, then it only makes sense that I need to be a disciple who loves God passionately and who loves others unconditionally. Because it is very hard to point people to a place we haven't been. And it's extremely hard to lead people to a place that we're not willing to go. And so as we continue this morning, as we think about this mission statement, our DNA as followers of Christ, I just want us to understand that we've got to make sure as disciples that we're growing and that we're loving. And really over the last 3 weeks, Crawford's been talking about a couple of these hows. How do we grow? How do we grow to be a healthy disciple? Another word for those are spiritual growth catalysts. These are things that help us or promote growth spiritually. And let me just quickly review the three that we've talked about. Crawford started a couple weeks ago by talking about the need for a regular diet of God's word. You and I will never grow to love God passionately if we don't know him. And the primary way that we grow to know God is through his word. And it requires time in his word, time reading the Bible. We also need time with other believers. And we're calling this biblical community. We were never meant to live life alone. Instead, God created us and wired us to do life together. And as a follower of Jesus, we need one another if we're going to grow spiritually and if we're going to be healthy disciples. And then last week, Crawford talked about an intentional ministry focus. And here we were just reminded of the reality and the fact that God has wired and created each of us to fulfill his purpose in the world. And that purpose is to take those who don't know him and connect them to the Savior. Ministers of reconciliation. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a fourth habit that we're going to call spiritual habits, or a fourth catalyst that we're going to call spiritual habits. And what I want to just talk about this morning is how we will never grow to love God passionately, and we will never grow to love others unconditionally unless we develop in our own life some core spiritual habits. And as we talk about that, I want us to start in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you can't find it, it's right before 2 Timothy. Sorry, I had to say that. Now, before we delve in and talk about spiritual habits, let's just talk about this word habit for a second. According to the dictionary, Webster specifically, here is how a habit is defined. He defines it one of two ways. A habit is a usual way of behaving, or it's something a person does often in a regular and repeated way. A usual way of behaving or something a person does often in a regular, usual way. Now, most of us, when we hear this word habit, we automatically go to the negative, don't we? I mean, we think of those behaviors or those things that we do that are to our detriment, things that aren't healthy. I'll give you a practical example. I'm in the process of training for my third marathon. And this year, I decided to do two things different. Number one, I'm going to watch more carefully what I eat. And that's a first for me. And I'm also working more closely with a trainer. In fact, it was my trainer who actually encouraged me to watch more carefully what I eat. And the way she's doing that is she is making me catalog everything I eat, be it a snack, be it an apple, be it any meal. I've got to write it down, and she holds me accountable to it. So a couple weeks ago when I started this, she took about 2 or 3 weeks, watched my eating habits, and then she called me and she said, you know, Shane, I usually, when I help people with eating, I usually have one suggestion for everybody. I have two for you. And she said, first of all, you have got to start eating more vegetables, which I get. And then she said, secondly, you cannot keep eating 2 bowls of Frosted Flakes at 8 o'clock at night. And she told me, she said, the sugar that late at night is killing your training. And so I'll tell you, that was very hard to give up. One, because I love Frosted Flakes. But can I tell you something I realized? One thing I realized is that I was eating 2 bowls of Frosted Flakes at night, not because I needed them and not because I was hungry, but because it was a habit. And it was a hard habit to break. And it's not a very healthy habit when you're training for a marathon. See what I mean? When we think of a habit, we usually go to those things that are not healthy, things that are not good. But when we talk about this morning spiritual habits, what we're going to talk about are those things, those behaviors, those practices which actually help us or benefit us spiritually. So let me give you the definition that we're going to work with about a spiritual habit. Here's how we're going to define spiritual habits. Spiritual habits are practices, personal practices, that facilitate spiritual growth. Personal practices done regularly and done often that facilitate spiritual growth. Now, throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, this theme of spiritual habits or this theme of spiritual disciplines is a very common theme. So much so that in the New Testament, we're actually told and commanded to develop them. Now, let me show you what I mean. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. The book of 1 and 2 Timothy was written by a guy named Paul, Apostle Paul, to a young pastor named Timothy. And these two books pretty much lay out, and Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, as a pastor, as a young minister working in a church, this is what it means, and this is what it looks like to lead. And so when he starts chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, the first thing he does is he warns Timothy of false teachers, people who are teaching things that are not biblical. And by the way, that's not just a common theme for us today, false teaching. It was common in Paul's day. And Paul's words to Timothy apply directly to us, specifically what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, he says, you know, the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine and sound teaching, biblical teaching. He says, instead, they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers to kind of fulfill and to meet the needs of their itching ears. This is why Paul continuously told Timothy, Timothy, you got to be in the Word, you got to teach the Word, and you got to protect the Word. And that's why he tells Timothy what he does here in chapter 4, verse 7. Look at this one verse, 1 Timothy 4, 7. Paul tells Timothy, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. This phrase, have nothing to do with, is actually one word in Greek. And it's a very strong word. And it literally means to reject or to put away. And so in the context, what Paul is telling Timothy is, hey, correct the false teaching. Reject the false teachers. But outside of that, have nothing to do with them. Don't waste your time and energy. Instead, look at the second part of verse 7. Watch this. Don't spend your time and energy there, but spend your time and energy, here it is, training yourself for godliness. Training yourself for godliness. This word train in Greek actually sounds like and looks like our English word gymnastics. It's actually where we get our word gymnastics in gymnasium. And it very simply means to exercise. So if you want to know a literal rendering of this verse, what Paul tells Timothy, exercise unto godliness. Exercise unto godliness. And then in verse 8, he tells us why. Paul goes on and says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is in value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Train yourself. Exercise yourself to godliness. Now, when most people think of this term godly or godliness, A lot of people assume it simply means to be godlike. And there's some truth to that, but it's deeper than that. Because this word godly or godliness at its core practically means to be committed and totally devoted to walking with God. It means that God is the object of your deepest affections. Your heart is His and His alone. In fact, to be godlike or to be Christ-like is actually the outcome of godliness. In other words, in Hebrews 12, for example, it tells us to pursue holiness or to pursue godliness. Here Paul says, exercise yourself unto godliness. He's saying when you do that, the result will be that you will begin to think, you will begin to act, you will begin to live, you will begin to love, and you'll begin to lead like Jesus. And when that happens, everything we do and everyone we're with is affected by that. Paul says godliness is a value in the present life, but also in the life to come. Now, I want to take this phrase, and I just want to make two observations from the simple phrase, train yourself for godliness. Okay, here's the first one. It is obvious from what Paul tells Timothy here that godliness is our goal. If you're a follower of Jesus, God's goal for your life, His purpose for your life is godliness. Paul says it in Romans 8:29, your destiny is Christ-likeness. Our goal is not happiness. Our goal is not prosperity. It's not success. It's godliness. Paul says, train yourself for godliness. Now, here's why I want us to understand that when we talk about spiritual habits. God does not measure our maturity spiritually based on our spiritual habits. He doesn't look at how many habits you have spiritually and how often you keep them and then go, okay, this is how spiritual you are. God doesn't do that. And I think a lot of us need to hear that because somewhere along the way, we've bought into this lie that our spiritual maturity is measured by our spiritual busyness or our spiritual habits. It's not true. For years, if you were to ask me, Shane, how are you doing spiritually? I would have actually initially responded based on whether or not I had a quiet time that morning or wrote in my journal. Because for me, spiritual maturity was measured by my spiritual habits. But when you look at Scripture, that's not what it says. Spiritual habits do not measure our maturity. Spiritual habits are to help move us towards maturity and move us towards godliness. I have had seasons in my life, man, I was reading the Bible three times a day and praying and journaling, but I wasn't growing because the focus was the habit, not the destination, which is godliness. And godliness is the goal. Here's a second observation from Paul's words. Growing in godliness requires our participation. Growing in godliness requires our participation. This is why, for me personally, I think it is so important for followers of Jesus to have a very clear understanding and distinction between justification and sanctification. Okay, hang with me for one second, because I know those terms can be very technical, theological, but those are incredibly important terms. And growing in godliness and training ourselves for godliness requires that we know a distinction. So let me just give you a little distinction here. Justification means to be made right with God. Sanctification means to be made more like Jesus. Justification is a one-time event. Sanctification happens over a lifetime. Justification refers to our conversion, our initial salvation, and there's nothing we can do to earn that. Sanctification has to do with growing in godliness, and we do have a part in that. We do have to participate. And here's why I want us to know that. We do not practice, please hear this, we do not practice spiritual habits to get a relationship with God. The reason we develop and practice spiritual habits is to grow in our relationship with God. And there is a huge difference. I mean, you know there's a difference between trying to do something and training to do something, right? Trying to be godly implies that it's totally and solely up to us. But Paul says, train yourself for godliness. And this word training implies that yes, we have a part, but it's not completely and solely up to us. I mean, look at the verse again. Paul doesn't say, Timothy, just pray and ask God to make you holy. That's not what he tells him. He doesn't tell him, sit back and relax and watch what God does. Or here's one that we use often. Let go. Let God. No, he says, train yourself. Train yourself for godliness. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul uses the same imagery and drives home the same point where he says, do you not know that those in a race all compete, but only one wins the prize? He says, run in such a way as to win the prize. And then he says this, everyone who competes enters into strict training. And he says, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Strict training. If you and I, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, if we're going to grow in godliness, and if we're going to be healthy disciples, then we are going to have to enter into strict training. Now, here's one of the coolest truths about our God and what he does for us. God will never ask or require of us to do something that he won't first empower us and enable us to actually do. Therefore, when you hear, train yourself for godliness, please know, God does not intend for you to do that on your own. Instead, what he does is he empowers and he enables us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Again, there's a major difference between trying for something and training for something. This is why Paul in Galatians chapter 5, when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and he talks about how to be fruitful, he talks about how to resist the desires of the sinful nature, or quote, the flesh. When he's in that context, he says that we have to walk by the Spirit, something we do. He says later on in that context, we've got to live by the Spirit. We've got to be led by the Spirit. See, God's responsibility, when it comes to your growth and my growth, God's responsibility is to provide the power. And that's the Spirit of God that lives in us. Our responsibility is to walk and to live and to be willing to be led. And again, this is where spiritual habits come into play. It's these habits, it's these personal practices that facilitate or enable the Spirit of God to do what only the Spirit of God can do. And that is change your life and change my life. You know, one of the habits I've developed years ago, and I had a youth pastor who challenged me to this. And it's a habit. Do I miss it? Absolutely. Sometimes. But it's the practice or the habit of getting up early and spending time in my Bible and praying, and personally, I journal. And somebody asked me one time, why do you get up so early and do that? And I said, well, first of all, it's not because I can't sleep, because I have no problem sleeping. It's not because that I like getting up early. In fact, a lot of times I have to drag myself out of bed. But you know what I found personally for me? That the reason I get up early in the morning and spend time in God's Word and spend time praying and journaling is because it's through reading the Bible before everyone else is up. And it's through journaling that God actually speaks and reveals to me areas of my life that need attention. I can tell you time and time again, if I was bold, I'd bring my journals in here and read them to you. I'm not that bold. But I could tell you time and time again, we're in our little chair that we have in our living room where I spend time with God, time and time again, where God has shown me sin issues, heart issues, pride issues, motive issues. My time every morning, it's training. It's exercising unto godliness. And Paul tells Timothy, train yourself, exercise for godliness. Now, if all we had was Paul's words here in 1 Timothy 4, that would be enough to push us to do spiritual habits and develop those. But fortunately, that's not all we have. Because what we also have is the example of Jesus. The example of Jesus. And so what I want to do is I just want to kind of start wrapping our time up, and I want to spend the rest of our time in one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. So turn back there with me. You can leave 1 Timothy. Mark chapter 1. This always amazes me about Jesus. You know, here's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. He's fully God. He's fully man. Yet Jesus was very intentional to establish and to practice a certain habit that we see over and over and over throughout the Gospels. And I want to show you just one episode here in Mark chapter 1 where we see this in Jesus' life lived out. So look with me, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 32. Just follow along as I read this. It says, that evening at sundown, they brought to him, Jesus, all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases. And he cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him, and they said to him, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. There's probably a little attitude in that. And he said to them, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And then it says that he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now, if you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you read through the Gospels, one of the things you will notice very quickly is that Jesus had this habit of getting away and getting alone with his Father. And some of us look at that and go, well, isn't he and the Father one, and isn't he fully God? Why would he have to do that? Well, over in John chapter 5, you don't need to turn there, but write this reference down. John 5, verse 30, I think Jesus himself tells us why he does this. Listen to what he says. Jesus himself speaking says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear from God, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now think about this. Here's Jesus, God's son, fully man, fully God. The Bible tells us, John 14, he and the Father are one. Yet Jesus says here that he does not act apart from his Father. Instead, he spends time with his Father in order to hear from him and in order to discover his will. Now, can my simple little brain comprehend that? Absolutely not. But Jesus himself said, I can do nothing on my own. Now, here's the point. If Jesus himself felt it necessary to develop the habit of seeking God, how much more should I? And how much more should you? How much more should we as a church and as a body of believers? Now, let me just take a sidebar really quick. I should have done this earlier, but let me just say this when we talk about it as we move through Mark. You know, there are numerous spiritual habits that we could talk about. Numerous. And quite frankly, outside two that I'm about to name, really for all of us, they could look different. And we'll talk about why. But I do think there are two spiritual habits that are non-negotiable. And they are reading the Bible and prayer. You cannot read or go through Scripture and not see that reading the Bible, time in the Word, in prayer, communion with God, that those are non-negotiable. If we're going to grow in our faith, if we're going to become more like Christ, if we're going to be healthy disciples, those two habits have got to be a part of our lives. However, outside of that, I think there's a lot of freedom as to the habits, the spiritual habits we develop that help facilitate spiritual growth. And the reason I want to tell that to you is because we are not going to, this morning, go through, and I'm not going to give you a list of 30 habits. But what I want to do for the rest of our time is I want to show you the priority that Jesus gave the habit of getting away and getting with God. Because I think his example serves as a great model for us. So let me just give you three lessons from Mark. These verses in Mark chapter 1. Here's the first lesson. When it comes to our spiritual habits, we got to be very careful not to allow other things to crowd them out. Because we are humans and by the very nature of who we are, we will allow other things to crowd out the most important thing in our life. It's human nature. And so we got to be very careful, and that most important thing for us is time with God. Look back at verse 32. Notice how it describes Jesus' evening. It says, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. You know the key word for me in that whole section of Scripture there? Is the word sundown. I don't know how you are, but when the sun goes down, I'm done. I mean, I have nothing left. Nothing left. In fact, most nights, I'm in bed by 9:15 and asleep by 10. But notice what it says here. It was at sundown when it looks like and it sounds like that Jesus was just getting started. Verse 32 again. At sundown, notice this. They brought to him all who were sick and oppressed. And notice this word. And the whole city, translation, a lot of people, was gathered at the door. Now, we're not told when the crowd cleared out. We're not told when Jesus went to bed. But I guarantee you it wasn't 9:15 or 10 o'clock. But yet, Jesus did not allow his busy night to interfere or crowd out his time with God the next morning. And what an incredible lesson for all of us. If there is anything that we need to protect as followers of Jesus, it is our time with God. Because believe it or not, time with God is more important than time with your spouse, time with your kids, time at work, time with your friends. Because the best gift that we can give all those people is more time with God. Because the closer we grow to Him, the better we're going to love them. Please hear me. Be very careful not to allow the things of life to crowd out your spiritual habits. Don't allow them to do it, but protect them. Guard those things. Second lesson from Jesus. Establishing and maintaining spiritual habits require intentionality. Intentionality. My parents used that word with me all the time growing up. And I don't like that word. Intentionality. But I think you would agree when I say that without intentionality, chances are, whatever we're doing, chances are without it, we're not going to do it. When I decided a few months ago to sign up and to run another marathon, I had to be very intentional to go and find a training plan. And I had to be very intentional to put that on my calendar. And every day, I got to be very intentional to get up, look and see what I'm supposed to do, and then go out and actually do it. And I think for all of us, too many times what happens is in life, we forget that apart from intentionality, most of what we want to do will not happen, including growing spiritually. Now, please don't forget, do not lose this. God does not require us or ask us to train ourselves in godliness all alone. Remember, He empowers us through the Spirit. However, we do have to be intentional. Verse 35. After an extremely long night, look at what it says of Jesus. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. You see those terms of intentionality? Rising very early, while it was still dark. I'm usually in bed when it's really early and still dark. Rising very early, while it was still dark. It says Jesus departed. He went out, and it says he went to a desolate place. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen. And neither do the spiritual habits that facilitate such growth. One of the habits years ago that I just developed was the habit of serving. And I'm talking primarily about serving in settings that make me feel extremely uncomfortable. And Amber and I actually, as a family, we've tried to establish this value in our home that we're going to serve with our kids. And so every year we try to find one opportunity where we can go serve as a family. Well, Tim mentioned Bill Glass Ministry and the prison ministries that they do. Well, this past Friday, I actually spent the day with Bill Glass in prison. My kids, this was not a trip. We took our kids. So please take a deep breath. I'm not, Bob Roland's back there going, you took your kids to prison? But no, this was a trip that I went on. And I will be completely honest with you. I signed up to do this prison ministry about 2 months ago. But as the date got closer and closer and closer, I was coming up with every reason not to do it. My kids were out of school on Friday. I could have stayed home. I had some guy friends who wanted to hang out that I hadn't seen in a while. I had a sermon to prepare. But because I know that for me, serving is incredible spiritual training. And because I know that serving in settings that make me uncomfortable, that it challenges me and that it grows me and that it moves me towards greater godliness and spiritual growth, because of all those things, I had to be very intentional to guard that day because I thought about not going. And can I challenge you with any or every spiritual habit that you have, you're going to have to be intentional to guard it and protect it and practice it. Because if you don't, if I don't, chances are we will not do it. And we desperately need these spiritual habits. Because, here's the last lesson from Jesus, because spiritual habits make room for us to hear from God. Spiritual habits make room for us to hear from God. You know, a lot of us, when we think of prayer, yours truly included, we think of a one-way conversation. We think of us talking to God. But prayer was never meant to be a one-way conversation. It's always meant to be two-way. Yes, there's us speaking. You know, Paul says, let your request be known to God. Absolutely. But we're also to listen. And I'm of the belief that this discipline or this habit of listening to God, it's really lost today in our culture. And probably part of the reason is there's so much going on. We keep ourselves so busy. But also in our world today, man, there's just so many other things just swirling around us that are competing for our time and our attention. However, when it comes to developing spiritual habits, and really one of the primary purposes of a spiritual habit is to actually create space in our life so that we can hear from God. And I think Jesus models that here. Seeing that he told us in John chapter 5 that he does nothing apart from the Father, and seeing that he says that, you know what, it's not my will I want to do, it's his will, I think it's safe to assume when we're told here in Mark chapter 1 and when we're told elsewhere that Jesus got alone with God and prayed, I think it's safe to assume that he was listening to God as well. I think he was listening. In fact, look at this. That's probably why he got up early, right? Verse 35. This is why he went out. This is why he found a desolate place, completely away from distraction. Now notice what happens, verse 36. Here comes Simon. It says, and Simon and those who were with him, they searched for him, and they found him, and they said, everyone is looking for you. I mean, you can kind of picture the scene. Jesus, what are you doing out here in the middle of nowhere? People need you. But verse 38, Jesus said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. Hey guys, I know you feel that we need to go back to Capernaum, but I just spent time with my Father, and it's time to move on. And so we're going to move on. We're going to move on. I hear a lot of believers today saying to me and to others, you know, I just don't think God speaks anymore. I totally disagree with that. I think God is constantly speaking. The problem is, I know for me at least, is I just don't take the time sometimes to slow down so that I can listen. So can I challenge every one of us? As we think about the various spiritual habits that we need to develop in our own lives, can I challenge us to ask the question, what practices, again, necessary ones are reading the Bible and prayer, but outside of those, what are the practices that I need to implement in my life that will help me to hear from God? For some of you, it's going to be long walks. Some of you can connect with the Lord and just listen to God. It experiences presence by listening to praise music. I journal. I serve. It could be fasting. It could be a certain time every night that you say, you know what, we're going to develop the habit at 8 o'clock. Boom, the TV's off. It's quiet time around our house. What are the habits that you need to develop and that I need to develop that will not only allow us and enable us to hear from God, but what are the habits that we need to develop that will move us to be healthy disciples who will love God passionately and love others unconditionally? Now, I know that talking about spiritual habits for some people, because for some in this room, this is kind of a new thing. To think of developing habits that are going to help me grow spiritually. And so I know this can be sort of an intimidating message, but here's what I want to do. I want to challenge all of us. In an effort to take this message and apply it, I want to challenge us to do that with one simple principle. And here it is. When you think about spiritual habits, I want you, in implementing them, I want you to think big, but start small. Think big, but start small. Think big. Remember, our goal is huge. What's our goal? It's godliness. Our goal is to begin to think and to act and to live and to love and to lead like Jesus. That's a big goal. Keep that goal front and center. Think big. However, when it comes to developing spiritual habits or adding additional spiritual habits, start small. Start small. You do not start training for a marathon by going out and running 10 miles. You start with a half a mile or a mile or 2 miles. Think big, start small. You know, one of the things the Bible calls us as a church to do as pastors and as leaders, I hope you know that our job as pastors and as staff and as elders, our job is not to grow you spiritually. Our job is to equip you and to provide tools for you, to provide environments where you can go, this is an environment where I can learn and I can grow and I can take these tools and I can own my spiritual growth with the presence of the Spirit in my own life. So our job is to equip you. And as we were talking about spiritual habits, and as we were talking about these four spiritual growth catalysts, one of the things that we wanted to do for us as a body of believers is provide a simple tool to get all of us into God's Word. And so when you came in this morning, if you got a bulletin, you got one of these. This is just a in the Word Bible reading plan that we put together just for you. I mean, you can share it with other people, but we did it for you. And I just want you to notice a couple of things about this. Seeing that reading God's Word and being in God's Word is a non-negotiable, I want you to notice that we did not put together one of those mammoth Bible reading plans. You ever done one of those? Where you start at 8 o'clock and you're done by noon? Because you have 40 chapters to read? And those are great, by the way, but here's our purpose. Our purpose is not to get you to read for breadth. Our purpose is to get you to read for depth. And so if you'll notice, we have one chapter a day that we encourage you to go through. And Saturday and Sundays are what we're calling days of reflection, where you just spend some time reflecting on what God has taught you throughout the week. And there on the front, we've provided, I think there's 6 questions just for you as you're reading God's Word, as you're taking that chapter, that you can just ask yourself these questions. What does this teach me about God? What does this teach me about me? Is there a sin that I need to avoid? Is there a command I need to obey? So here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you. If you're here this morning and you do not have a regular diet of God's Word, I want to encourage you, starting tomorrow, because this starts tomorrow, begin the habit of reading the Bible every day. And I want to encourage you, as you read it, as you ask those questions, ask God to speak to you and take some time to listen. Take some time to listen. If others of you here, you've already got a regular reading plan, that's awesome. Continue that. But can I encourage you? Take some time in the next day or two and sit down and ask God to show you additional spiritual habits that you might need to develop. Habits that will create or facilitate greater spiritual growth in your life. And when God shows you those, start small, but be intentional. Be intentional. If we are ever going to be a church, or if we're ever going to be a people, followers of Jesus, who make disciples, we got to first make sure that we are healthy disciples. We got to make sure that we have at least a regular diet of God's Word. And we've got to make sure that we at least live in biblical community and that we have an intentional ministry focus and that we have some core spiritual habits. Because when we do those things, The sky is the limit as to what God will do through you and in you. Let's make disciples who love God passionately and love others unconditionally by being disciples, growing disciples who love God passionately and who love others unconditionally. I'm going to have you stand with me, if you would. I'm going to pray for us here in a moment, but you know, every week Crawford would have us all read together this mission statement and make it very personal to us. And so I just want us to close, and I want this to be your words to God of a reminder of why you're here, why you exist. And then in a moment, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to ask our elders and some of our Stephen ministers just to come forward and just be available for some prayer for folks who may want to come and pray. But let's together just read this together. I exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus who love God passionately and love others unconditionally. Father, that's our prayer. That's our purpose. Not from the elders of this church, but from your son, Jesus, who said that the greatest commandment is to love you and to love our neighbor. And then who said that our greatest commission, the one thing that we are to do as he departed and left and sent the Spirit, is we are to go and we are to make disciples. But Father, I pray this morning that all of us will feel the weight of the need to be healthy disciples. And Father, particularly for all of us, as we think about the various habits that we have in our life, Lord, there are probably some habits that we need to do away with in favor of implementing ones that are healthy to help us grow spiritually. God, my prayer for all of us this morning is that you would meet each of us where we are, and God, help us grow. May we be intentional to do our part. May we train ourselves. May we exercise for godliness. But God, may we depend and trust in the power of the Spirit, who is the only one who can change us. God, I pray for that person here or those people here who don't know you. Lord, maybe this morning they wanted for the first time to develop and to have a relationship with you through Jesus. I pray that this morning that they would embrace what Jesus did on the cross for them. And that they would come and talk to myself or one of our leaders here to know more about what that means. But Father, for all of us now as we go, may we be a people who is committed to glorifying you by making disciples of Jesus who love you passionately and love others unconditionally. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this community of believers. Go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.